Lord, clear vision of Christ. And that's what I want for each one of us to have this morning. But there are sometimes things that get in the way, and that's what we're going to look at this morning. If you'll turn with me to Luke, the 19th chapter, it's a very familiar passage. Luke 19 and 1, and Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was a chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was. And we'll stop right there. I think I've described this before. I have in my imagination a man who was very sprightly. But I have in my mind that he was a petite man. And he probably had greasy hair. I just have it in my mind. And we know that he had greasy hands because he was a chief among the publicans and he was rich. And I have a hunch that he was a little bit of a snitch. He was a little bit of a crook, probably a great big crook. But little of stature. And he probably was someone that people didn't associate with too much because they knew him to be a crook and they knew if they shook his hands that he had a slimy hand because he was a crook. He gathered money in and he kept it. And he probably did it in not so many fair ways. But anyway, he sought to see Jesus who he was. And do you know, that's a very honest approach. And that's where we need to apply ourselves like Zacchaeus, to seek to see Jesus. And so you know he had to take time off from his work, and he had to go find the location of where Jesus was. And it says, and we would continue, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And I told you he was short and little and petite, okay? And the reason I say petite is because he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree. Now, if he'd have been a chubby little guy, it might have been a little harder for him to reach that sycamore tree. And I know as a girl, when I first finally recognized what a sycamore tree looked like and how special it was, I was so excited that Zacchaeus ran up and climbed a sycamore tree. And they still hold a special place in my heart. But you know, he had to do that because he couldn't see Jesus. And you know, that was a physical sense because he was short of stature. And here was the crowd pressing around Jesus. Jesus probably was not on a platform. He probably was not on something elevated. And there was a press to see him. And he couldn't see him because of all the big heads and the big people and the shoulder-to-shoulder crush of the crowd. But he had a desire to see Jesus. So he went and sought out a sycamore tree, and he was to pass that to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him, and we'll stop right there. So he ran up to the press and then climbed a sycamore tree. Do you know what advantage he had over that? So we said that in a physical sense, but do you know sometimes when we want to go see Jesus, we're hindered by people. Do you know that? We're hindered by people. We're hindered by big egos. We're hindered by hypocrisy. We're hindered by their faults. What is he doing here? And he's right up front. We're hindered by failures. We're hindered by people. Then all we can see is people. Do you know there's a world full of people that say, well, I'm not going to live for the Lord because so-and-so hasn't. And I saw what he did, and he's a preacher. Or so-and-so hasn't. Do you know what he has a problem or they have a problem with? They haven't found a sycamore tree. And you know, you and I spiritually need to find a sycamore tree and climb it so that we can see Jesus. And when you are elevated in that position, you're able to see above the people. Because you know what? There's always going to be hypocrites. And do you know what? We want them to see Jesus because we want someday for them to see their need of Jesus. And you know, I've heard people say, well, there are just so many hypocrites in that congregation. And it's like, well, thank the Lord, they're still going to church. Eventually, we want them to see Jesus. You don't want them to quit coming. You don't want anyone to stop coming to the congregations to see Jesus And you know, in this pulpit, that's what we desire. In Louisiana, they have a little inscription on the front of the desk that you stand behind, and it says, "Sir, we would see Jesus." And that's what they're saying is, don't portray anything else up here but Jesus. And you know, Zacchaeus had to do something physical to climb that tree. And sometimes we're going to have to do some things that are not convenient because we need to see Jesus. But he had a purpose to see Jesus. And so that's a wonderful thing. But Jesus took time and looked up and saw him and said to him, "Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house." And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And I love this passage here. He received him joyfully. You know, there's a song that says, "I will open my heart's door gladly and crown him there today." Do you know that's what we need to do? You know, Zacchaeus really was a good example for us, wasn't he? Started out looking like, now he was just a rich man because he was a crook. But you know, he received Jesus gladly, joyfully. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying, "He was gone to be a guest with that old man, Zacchaeus, who was slimy and slick, and that he was a sinner." And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, and I've thought about this over and over, Zacchaeus' heart was in the right place. First of all, he wanted to see Jesus. Second of all, he received him gladly. And third, he confessed his sins. He said, "Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I will restore him fourfold." That's a beautiful example of salvation, isn't it? First, he sought to see Jesus. Then he made his way to Jesus. He accepted him gladly. He admitted his faults, and he was ready to make restitution. All those perfect steps in how to be a child of God. And Jesus said unto him, "This day is salvation come to this house." You know, we can follow that example too. A lot of times, though, we get stuck behind people. And then we just go home saying there were just too many people there. There was just too much in the way between me and God. And I couldn't get through the press. I couldn't get through the crush of people. I couldn't get through their humanity. I couldn't get through their faults and failures and their personalities. I just couldn't get through that. And I went back home. But Zacchaeus did not. And we have that example too. And I feel like that is something we can grow by. And understand that there, do you know what? We all want to go to heaven. We all want to go to heaven. Do you know that person that rubs you the wrong way and you can see right through their faults? Do you know you probably rubbed them the wrong way and they can see right through your faults? But you know what? What you need to do is both see Jesus. Press to see Jesus. I want to see him more than anything else. I want to make heaven my home. I want that person to go as well as myself. I don't want it to be just me. I want to take everyone that I can with me. I don't want there to be a hindrance between me and my brother or my sister or who I supposed was my brother or sister. And maybe they did fail. Do you know what? You can pray for their failure. You can pray for your failure. You know, we're all very human. And we're not always going to do the perfect thing because we are very human. And we need to give each other that space and understand they're trying to see Jesus too. It just makes a difference, doesn't it? Well, in Numbers, the 21st chapter, we have another situation, and it was quite the situation. It's not a situation I would want to be in, but this is where the Israelites found themselves. They were good at murmuring and complaining, and do you know what? Sometimes I think we're just about as good as they are for murmuring and complaining, so we need to be checked on that. But they did something that was very against the Lord, and they suffered for it. So here's what happened. 21st chapter of Numbers in the 4th verse, and they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom, and the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way, and the, you know how that goes. When people get discouraged, they start getting discontent. And when they start getting discontent, they start verbalizing. So here's what happened. And the people spake against God and against Moses, "Wherefore have ye brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread, this manna. The Lord was very angry, and he sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned." So they confessed it. "We have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us." And Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said unto Moses, "Make thee a fiery serpent and set it upon a pole, and it shall come to pass that every one that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live." And Moses made a serpent of brass and put it upon a pole, and it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. So let's just think about that just for a minute. They put it, and of course Jesus said later on, he says, "And I'm like that. If I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men to me." So we'll just make a sign of a cross here. And here's a little bitty person. It said, "You're going to have to look and live." And that means that vision had to be up. We can't afford to look down, because if they looked down, what did they see? The fiery serpents. Now, I do not like snakes at all. And if a garter snake bit me, I think I would die. Not from the poison, but just the sheer fear that I have of a snake. And I have thought of this, because this was fiery serpents, so when it bit them, they died. So we know without a doubt that it was a special kind of serpent that had venom enough to kill the victim right away. So just think of the faith that they had to have when you see, you're trying to be very careful not to walk on them, and yet they're crawling up your leg, and they're getting ready to bite you, and you're supposed to look away from that? That doesn't make sense. You know, the people had said, "Ask the Lord to take away the fiery serpents." But you know, the Lord never took away the fiery serpents. He gave them an answer, but they had to look up to see it. And you know, that's the hardest thing to do sometimes. When things are crawling on, things that are so close to us, and you just think of what a fiery serpent represents. Have you ever been wounded? Have you ever been hurt? Have you ever felt something that caused a ray of bitterness? It starts to fester into a bitterness. You know, a bitterness can kill. It really can kill. And I've thought about, they had to look away from their wounds and their pain and the cause of their wounds and their pain, and they had to look up. That's a hard thing to do. So I want us to be encouraged, but it said, when he looketh upon it, they shall live. That when he is bitten, if they'll look upon that fiery serpent on that pole, they'll live. That doesn't make any sense. But that's how it happened. That's how they got life. That's how they got to overcome this battle that they were in. And Moses made a serpent of brass and put it upon a pole, and it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, and not just when it crawled up their leg, when it had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. Do you know what? We're going to have to look away from our hurts and our wounds and the causes of them and look at Christ. You're going to have to get your eyes off of down here and look up. That's the only way you will be able to live. But it is possible. And those people did. They obeyed. But I thought, what a lesson to learn for their murmuring and complaining. They were sorry that Moses was their leader. They were sorry they were in the wilderness. They were grumping and griping and complaining. And the Lord sent fiery serpents. Do you know, sometimes we can become discontent as well. And there are times that bitterness comes through. There's always going to be people that intentionally wound you. There's going to be people who unintentionally wound you. But what are you going to look at? I'm telling you, if you continue to look at those things, it will cause death. But if you will look to the Savior, you will live. We have a little song that says, "Look and Live," and maybe we can sing it later. But if you want real salvation and real life, eternal life, you're going to have to look and live. Look and live. So if you will, just turn to me to John, the 12th chapter, and the 21st verse. There's that instance that I was talking about, that little refrain that's stamped in a little embossing thing on the pulpit in La Ronda, Louisiana. It says, "Sir, we would see Jesus." And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, "Sir, we would see Jesus." Let that be the desire of our hearts. Lord, I want to see you. I want to do whatever it takes. I want to be in your presence. I want to climb that sycamore tree so that I can be above the people's heads and I can see the glory of the Lord. I want to be able to look from all the wounds and the hurts that I have received in my life, because everyone has. Everyone has. And I want to be able to have life in me. Sir, I want to see Jesus more than anything else. Then it said, Philip cometh and telleth Andrew, and again Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. So they were able to see Jesus. And you know, that's how we're going to do it. We're going to have to put a little effort on our part. It can't happen if I'm constantly looking down. It can't happen if I'm constantly looking at the crowd straight ahead. It's only going to happen when I look up or lift up myself somehow to get above the crowd and the press of the people to see Jesus. I desire that you pray for me.